In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus said to Thomas, "Do you believe because you saw me? Now happy are those who believe without seeing." And the writer of today's Gospel knew that that was precisely the situation of most of his readers in the first century. They had not seen Jesus risen from the dead. Indeed, by the time John wrote his Gospel, most of them had never even seen Jesus himself. And that was their situation, as most of his readers, as I've said. And for that matter, it's your situation and mine, isn't it? You're in the same way. And Jesus said, "How happy are those who believe without seeing." He's talking about us. But what is this belief, this faith? Faith is the insight into God and His work that calls for an answering love and trust in us. On Easter day, 10 of the apostles saw Jesus in the room behind locked doors, as we heard near the start of today's gospel. They saw and believed. And they recorded it to Thomas. He wasn't there. And he didn't believe. It was too unbelievable. And he made no bones about saying so. Only when he himself saw Jesus did Thomas believe. Now it's important not to misread today's gospel. Jesus isn't condemning Thomas, nor the rest of the apostles who also had to see and believe. What he's doing is once again turning all our ways of thinking upside down. Jesus says to me and you, as well as to Thomas, "No, it's not like that. You'll find real happiness in believing because of my work in them as they report this to you." In a few minutes, I'm going to tell you a story about it. You'll see real happiness as you see me at work in their report. You heard something of that in today's history? And as you see me at work in the community of faith, and some people have come to Jesus because they are coming to a congregation and thought, "These people have got something I haven't got. It's not a nice look." And as you see me at work in yourself, Thomas had come to faith and he had to grow. Just as we all have to grow in this faith, this insight into who Jesus is, and therefore this throwing up acceptance of his free gift of accepting us, his acceptance of us, his forgiveness of us. And as we grow in that, we grow in loving him and in what we want to do for him. Now, people come to faith, this insight which calls out an answering commitment to God in Jesus, in many ways. For example, I was told a story by a fellow priest, John Stockdale, who is now the pastor's son, about someone who came to him wanting to get married. And John said to him, "Well, of course, in the service together, I've been making up promises in the name of God as you marry your bride." So he said, done in our life, so it's our own And he said, do you believe in God? The man said, he wasn't driving me back. Is he? So he comes, Wilson, I think this shows that you need to deal with the moment. So cut the story short. John Clayton, to read a copy of the Good News Bible translation of the Gospel of St. Luke. Put it out of Father Luke's Gospel that he had in this translation. Go to him. And Blake went on to say, you won't marry me, you know, words about that friend. John said, no, it's not like that. It's just you need to do a little bit of homework. So to know what you're saying. So Blake took it off. Came back as arranged a week later. And John said, well, how do you get on? Oh, great. And John did a fell to the floor and he said to him, you know, this is the first book in my life I've ever read. I've read all, had to go to read all sorts of books, and I've given up after about the first two or three pages. And I thought, well, no, I better make a bit of a go at this at any rate. He said, once I started reading, it's like a book down. It was wonderful. And so John said, well, what do you make of Jesus? The person you're reading. Oh, it's the Lord. No, it could possibly be made all this up. It has to be real. And he has to be real. So John suddenly pushed a little bit further and said, what do you make when you hear the resurrection and the natural Dunman's character? He said, what do you make of this coming to life bit at the end? Well, of course it's the Lord. He'd have to. He couldn't stay here. He'd have to come to life here. Or would you accept him as your Lord? Yes, you're right. He had come to faith. I won't continue the story. You can ask me a bit more about it later if you want. But he was someone who, because of the gospel itself, one of the gospels, had come to believe in Jesus and therefore to know God. Some people of us have had faith as long as we can remember. But we've had to grow, haven't we? Some people come to believe because of the historical evidence, which is actually very strong indeed. Some people because of personal experiences of Jesus in prayer. Personal experiences of God, like a Muslim lady who actually became a Christian and wrote a book about their experience, no doubt in one of our people. God knows she was Indian or Pakistani. And she called the book, I Dare to Call Him Father. Because in the teaching of Mahatma, calling God Father is an insult to God. You mustn't do that. God will be angry if you have the cheek to call Him Father. And this woman, who was having desperate troubles in her relationship with God, consulted a nun in the hospital that she was in. And this Christian nun said, just try calling God Father and see how you feel. So in trepidation, she prayed to God, calling Him Father. To her astonishment, an enormous sense of peace came over her. She realized God wasn't angry with her, but God wanted her to call Him Father, which meant that Muhammad had to be wrong and the Christians had to be right. She became a Christian. We come to God in all sorts of ways, including one person who, I don't know how he acquired the name of Anthony Bloom, because he was the son of Russian refugees from the Bolshevik Revolution. They were representatives, foreign representatives of the Tsar in France. And once they have to go back to Russia after the Bolshevik Revolution. So they stayed in France. The irony was Anthony Bloom, as he grew up, became communist in France. Reluctantly went along one night, there were talk that a Russian Orthodox priest was giving to this group of young Russian refugees living in France. And reluctantly went along, sat there, and absolutely nothing. He knew Christianity was a load of garbage. But it couldn't be as nonsensical as the priest made out. So he said to his mother, "Well, we've got a book of the Gospels in Russian," and she said, "Yes, it's over there." Looked at the table of contents, found Mark's Gospel was the shortest, didn't want to waste any more time than necessary over this. But it couldn't possibly be as nonsensical as the priest made out. He almost lost his blood pressure out of his ears as he started reading. It wasn't as bad as the priest said, it was worse. And so it's getting more of a little. And he said, and we've got the countenance of an interview that he gave on the BBC, he said, he became aware that as he was sitting at the desk reading, there was someone on the other side of the desk. I don't think he ever saw him, but he realised that the person on the other side of the desk was a person about whom this was being written, and who was supposed to have said none of these things. Needless to say, he finished St Mark's Gospel in a somewhat different frame of mind. And that went on, he became a Christian. He ended up, after an extraordinary life in France, where he'd become, as a Christian, he'd become a doctor, and then he realised God was calling him to be a priest. He ended up as the Archbishop of Southern diocese of unpronounceable name somewhere in Russia. It was a well-known figure on the BBC and at various conferences in England and Canada at different times. People come to faith, this insight which calls out an answering commitment to God and Jesus in many ways. And this faith, it's not ours. It's a gift from God. We don't do it ourselves, but we do have to be open to receiving this gift of faith from God. And there are various levels of faith that all of us need to grow in. To quote from the first letter of St. John, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You may remember that earlier in today's Gospel, Jesus made provision for this for those who are finding that there is some set of sins or some sin in their life, confess it to God, but somehow they need further assurance of God's forgiveness. And he says to the apostles, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. They were entitled to exercise. He gave them the authority to exercise his ministry on behalf of God. And every Anglican priest is ordained with those words. And if you want, for those who need this kind of sacramental assurance. Most of us don't. Certainly not most of the time. The Anglican attitude to this particular sacrament of absolution is, all may use it, none must, but there are some who should. And it's there in our prayer book. If you read in the full edition of the Australian prayer book, I give you the page numbers, 699 and 775. The only reason I can give you page numbers I've got from here in front of me. Be that as it may, we all need to grow in faith. in our knowledge and love of Jesus. And how do we grow our faith? There are three things, all of which are necessary for us. We grow in faith by frequent receiving of the Holy Communion of the body and blood of Jesus. That's what we come to do this morning. We grow in faith by our daily pattern of prayer. Whatever pattern of prayer, daily prayer exists. And we grow in faith by regular waiting on God in silence and pondering His word. Be it once a week or 3 fixed days of the week or day. Spend a minute or so in silence before God, and then reading a short passage of the scripture and saying, okay God, what's this got to do with me here? All three ways are necessary for all of us. And this growth in faith is also God's gift. But it's our responsibility to let it happen. So, faith is the insight into God and His word that calls forth an answering love and trust in us. And we all need to grow. How happy are those who believe without seeing me, said Jesus. The Lord is